I'm Andy Bates, part of the team here at KFUO. While you hear me on the air and in podcasts, I'm also part of the team that works behind the scenes to bring you the programs like this that you value. What you hear on the air and in podcasts is just the tip of the iceberg. Listeners like you generously support everything that makes radio and podcasts happen. Administration, cutting-edge technology, software, hosts, producers, and more. You make this happen. Can we count on you to continue this support? KFUO Shareathon, now through April 5th, is a great time to show your support and make a gift or make a plan to give for a whole year. Your generosity is important and appreciated, not just by the KFUO team, but by listeners who get to hear and enjoy Christ-centered programs every day. Will you make a gift today? KFUO.org/give. KFUO.org/give.
Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 14, and Luke chapters 1, verses 26 through 38. The Reverend Randy Ashbury is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The Old Testament reading for the Feast of the Annunciation of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 7. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter.
Glory be to thee.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas. In March, no less. I wonder, what would it take to move all of our Christmas observance to this date, March 25th, each year? I know it would counteract about 1,700 years of history and precedent. Moving the Earth out of its orbit would probably be much easier. But we just might be able to celebrate Christmas, the real reason for the season, and that is Christ's incarnation. Without all of the frantic shopping fatigue, the budget-busting gifts, and carols fixated on jingling bells and falling snow. Bah, humbug, I know. But if there is one day in the year to get to the very beating heart about what Christmas is truly all about, today is that day, the Annunciation of our Lord. 9 months before the celebration of Christ's birth necessarily comes the celebration of his conception, his actual taking on flesh in his mother's womb. After all, before there can be a birth, there has to be a conception. There sat young Mary, innocent, unsuspecting, likely in her early teens. And suddenly the angel Gabriel entered with a majestic announcement for the ages, echoing from centuries past and stretching long into the future. And it only took Gabriel's greeting to startle Mary. "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Greetings, literally rejoice, is how God greeted his Old Testament people when he promised them his coming salvation. Oh, you might remember from Advent. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he." Young Mary is now a stand-in for daughter of Zion, God's people. Then there's that, "O favored one" business. She was not favored because of anything in her. After all, she was fallen in sin, in being subhuman, even unhuman, just as you and I are. No, she was favored because she was being shown grace, being chosen by Yahweh himself. After all, the Lord God was with her. Then the angel told her not to be afraid and repeated that God was graciously showing favor to her. And then the big pronouncement. "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." His name will be Yahweh Saves. He will be great, the Son of the Most High. He'll be the never-ending heir to the throne of David. He will graciously reign over God's people. Now, understandably, Mary, in her young teenage years, was confused. How could she possibly conceive a baby, let alone bear and birth him, when she did not yet have a husband? Now, this was not the skepticism of Zechariah earlier. This was honest wondering. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you," the angel said to assure her. "The same Spirit who hovered over the waters at creation, the same Spirit present in the pillar of cloud and fire in the wilderness, the same Spirit who filled the tabernacle with divine glory, the same Spirit who brought to life that valley of dry bones in Ezekiel's vision, that Spirit." And when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary in that moment, she conceived Jesus as the holy, sinless Son of God. From that split second of that one conception, salvation in the flesh entered his own fallen creation. True God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, conceived and born of the Virgin Mary. And how did Mary become pregnant? Not the normal way, for sure. It had to be different to break the cycle of our sinful, subhuman fallenness. As Luther said, it was through the power of God's Word. As one professor phrased it, she got pregnant by a word of God in the ear. Mary heard the word from the angel and conceived the child. Yes, the word of God is powerful and active. And he is so powerful that he gestated in his mother's womb, was born, grew into through childhood and into adulthood, the perfect man. And then he had his flesh nailed to a tree, where he would die in your place and mine. And on that third day, that very same flesh, first conceived in the Virgin's womb, rose again to bring life and immortality to light, to restore true humanity to humans. And all for you, dear friends. This is what Christmas is truly all about. The eternal Son of God taking on our human flesh, blood and bones, eyes, ears, and nose, liver, heart, lungs, and kidneys, and so on, from the very moment of conception. And all for you, to redeem you, a lost and condemned person, to purchase and win you from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. And more than that, our Lord Jesus was brought forth in the substance of our human flesh that we might partake of his divine life. Today, God's favor comes to you in the very body and blood once conceived within the Virgin Mary. And as you receive the body under the bread and the blood under the wine, the Holy Spirit comes upon you to beget faith in you, that you may be Jesus' own, that you may live under him in his kingdom, that you may serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. That's true humanity. So the only fitting response is what young Mary herself exclaimed, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Whenever you hear that your sins are forgiven, whenever you hear that you belong to Jesus and not to yourself, and especially when you soon hear, "given and shed for you," when Jesus puts himself in you and thus restores you to being truly human, then simply say, "let it be to me according to your word." Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.